Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So we're on Volume 2, October 14th, 1899. Peace, peace, peace. Don't you know that the kingdom of hope is the kingdom of peace, and that is that the right of this hope is justice. So here, this gives us, again, Christian hope is certitude. Jesus is saying the kingdom of hope, this kingdom of certitude, is filled with peace, peace, peace. That it's right, kingdom of peace, and the right of this hope is justice. God has to give to the world what the world wants. That's why Jesus is crying. That's why Our Lady has shedding many tears, because to enter into the kingdom of hope, there has to be a division. Those that don't want it have to go. And this is what Jesus is saying. You, Louisa, when you see that my justice arms itself against the people, enter into the kingdom of hope and invest in yourself with the most powerful qualities that the kingdom possesses to rise up to my throne and to do as much as you can to disarm the armed arm. And you shall do this with the most eloquent, the most tender, the most compassionate voices, with the most compelling reasons, with the most heated prayers that hope herself has dictates to you. See, it's, you have to understand, when everything gets dark, our hope is our certitude is that it's going to be better. And it's going to be more beautiful. Let's look at Jesus on the cross, dying the horrible crucifixion. He is our hope. Looking at Christ crucified, he is our hope. And what happens? Christ crucified is the glory of God. Christ crucified is the power of God. This is why everyone should have a crucifix in their home. You know, if you can put a crucifix on each room. Why? Because this is our hope. You know, when the devil would rather have you have a cross on you, a cross on your house, rather than a crucifix. Because the crucifix is the power of God. The devil would rather have you have a flower on the cross or a word on the cross rather than Christ crucified on the cross. See, this is what Jesus is saying. He wants us to enter into this life. The most powerful qualities is the kingdom of hope, the throne, and do as much as you can to disarm the armed arm. How does she disarm it? By willing to suffer, by willing to sacrifice. And he says, you will do this with the most eloquent, most tender, most compassionate voices, the most compelling reasons, the most heated prayers that hope herself has dictated to you. So it's the same thing for us. When you see your family falling away from Jesus, when you see your family falling away from the church, don't lose hope. Say to Jesus, I trust in you. You have to be their Lord. You have to be their Savior. You have to be their King, their Master, and do whatever you need to bring them back. That's the hardest thing for parents to do. Do what you need to do it. And that means a lot of times there will be great suffering. And the parents have to go through a great sacrifice. Why? To allow Jesus to bring them back. Some people are so bold. Some people are so selfish, so self-centered, so egotistical that God has to bring them to their knees. And so when you see a soul brought to its knees, you say to God, I know this is going to be good. If you go by the world, it's like, oh, this is horrible. What kind of a God does this? What kind of a person is our God that would allow this to happen? Well, God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. And the body's the vehicle. And you can repair your car in the garage. It might not be the same, but it can be repaired. And it's the same thing here. God wants us to heaven. He wants us in heaven. And he will bring about things. But Jesus says to Louisa, he says, when you see that hope itself is about to support certain rights of justice that are absolutely necessary, and wanting to give them up would be wanting to give affront to herself, which cannot be, then conform to me and surrender to justice. That's what we're doing the day after the Feast of Christ the King. 22 years ago, on the Feast of Christ the King, November 20th, the cause of Louisa began. And 22 years later, after the cause of Louisa, it's again the Feast of Christ the King on November 20th. And this is not by chance. Jesus is showing the world, now I am going to give justice to Louisa. Louisa is going to bring justice to the world. And that's why he says, conform to me and surrender to justice. This is what you have to understand. What our Lord wants for us is he wants us to truly allow the kingdom to be established. The one he is going to use is Louisa. Mary, our Blessed Mother, brought us redemption. Sanctification is being brought by a human. Why? Adam was a human. Adam was not the Son of God. Adam was not the Mother of God. Adam was a human in God's image and likeness, and he was to teach his children how to live this life, and he failed. So we had to wait for the new Adam, Jesus, and the new Eve, Mary, 4,000 years later. And now Jesus says, after 2,000 years of his crucifixion, death, and resurrection, he says, now I have found the newborn, Louisa Picaretta. So Louisa says, and I, terrified more than ever and having to surrender to justice, said to Jesus, oh Lord, how can I do this? And it's the same thing for us. When everything hits the fan, how are we going to do this? And Jesus says, almost wanting to distract me from my affliction, resumed his speech about hope, telling me, my daughter Louisa and the children linked to Louisa, do not be disturbed. Hope is peace. And as you go through this, as a woman would be giving birth to a child, the hope is that the child be born, the hope that this be accomplished according to the will of God. Same thing here. And just as I, in the very act in which I, God, make justice, you must remain in the most perfect peace. You too, immersing yourself in hope, must remain at peace. When everything goes dark, when everything is taken away, and we have to understand that God has to do this. He can't continue to let this happen. I mean, even the rainbow, the flag that is used today. It's a lie. The rainbow of peace, the rainbow that God gave to Noah is seven. There's seven colors in the rainbow. And you look at the rainbow that's used today, there's only six colors there. Indigo is not there. Indigo represents the Blessed Mother. There's six there. So when you look at the rainbow, don't be a friend. Don't be afraid, but say, Jesus, I want the real rainbow to show. And Jesus says, Louisa, you and your children will be the rainbow of peace in the new era. It's not the faults. The flames of hell always mimic the light of heaven. And so when you see another rainbow that's only six stripes, say, well, this is the fake. I want the real one. So you can always be with a smile, even no matter where you are, because even the fake rainbow makes us aware that there is the true rainbow of peace that's coming. Again, that's it. Do not be disturbed. Hope is peace. And just as I, in the very act in which I make justice, remain in the most perfect peace, you too, by immersing yourself in this hope, must remain at peace. This loving mother, hope, presents herself before divine justice with tears in her eyes, with the most tender voices, with the most compelling reasons which her magnanimous heart dictates to her, and says, I ask for grace for my lost children. I don't have the heart to see them separated from me. Here Our Lady shows us that her prayer is going to be answered. It's going to be rough. It's going to be tough. And Jesus is asking us to link ourselves with Jesus and Mary through Louisa, so that the kingdom can be established, so that justice can come to the earth. October 16, 1899, Jesus wanted to hide so as not to see the chastisements that he himself was sending over the people and in the way in which he was to destroy them. Oh God, what a harrowing sight never before seen. While waiting and waiting in my interior, I, Louisa, kept on saying, how is it that Jesus is not coming? Who knows whether he does not come because I do not conform to his justice? But how can I do this? It seems almost impossible for me to say, fiat voluntas tua. So Louisa's seeing what's coming. In 1899, she saw what's coming to the earth. And you have to see, it's a harrowing sight never before seen. We're going to go through that. You have to understand, we're going to go through this. That's why Jesus keeps on saying, do not be disturbed. This has to happen. I have to clean up the earth. I have to say to the devil, take what's yours. Get out. Go to hell. And that's what the devil's going to do. That's what's coming. And Jesus is asking us to be the ones to work with him, Jesus and Mary, through Louisa, so that this can happen. And it's going to happen. October 21st, 1899. Oftentimes I had the temptation to conform to justice, thinking that I myself was the cause of Jesus not coming. In fact, in these past few days, Jesus had told me that if I did not conform, I would force Jesus not to come and not to tell me anything anymore so as not to grieve me. But I did not have the heart to do it, more so since not even obedience consented to me. And that's what she would always go to the priest and always say, Father, this is what Jesus is saying to me. Must I do this? And the priest, this is why not even obedience said this. So she was obedient to the priest. And this is a difficult one. The head of the town is not the mayor. The head of the town is not the chief of police. The head of the town is not the anyone but the priest. The parish priest is the head of the town. And this obedience that is going to be in the new era, as a matter of fact, the priesthood is going to change completely. Jesus tells this to Louisa. The rectories are empty today. The prisons are full. The hospitals are full. The psychiatric units are full. This is not going to last like this. The prisons will be emptied. The hospitals will be emptied. The psychiatric units will be emptied. Why? Because Jesus is going to change the priesthood. The ontological change that happens at ordination is extremely important to Jesus. And he says, it's not what I want at this point. He says, the greatest displeasure I have is the terrible plight of his priests. And God is going to change this. So as you get to enter into this divine will, Jesus is going to show you why priesthood is necessary. Adam was a priest. And when he fell, Jesus came as the high priest. Adam was the king of the universe. He was the king of the earth. And Jesus comes as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Adam was the father of the family of man. Jesus comes as the father of the new heavens, of the new earth. See, everything's changing. God is going to bring back to what man lost. And we're going to live a life that has never been seen by the saints. We're going to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the life that Adam lost before the fall. He saved the best for last. And that's why all the saints wanted to live in the final days. And it's not the end of the world. And the reason I say the final days is that's what John Paul II said in 1978 when he became Pope. He says, we are in the final days. He says, the reason I'm saying this, he says, is Paul said that 2,000 years ago. We are in the end of days. And we have to understand this has to come to an end. The kingdom is coming. 2,000 years we've been praying, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this is what's going to happen. Jesus says this very, very clearly. After this, I saw my dearest Jesus, but also in suffering, offended and indignant with the people, asked to strike terror. And immediately I began to say to Jesus, Lord, I offer you your wounds. I offer you your blood. I offer you the most holy use of your senses, which you made during the course of your mortal life in order to repair for the offenses and for the bad use of the senses which creatures make. This is a prayer that we should know. This is a round to say to Jesus, I offer to you your holy wounds. I offer to you your precious blood. I offer to you all your senses. See, in volume 36, he says, the senses were made for God. We were to see God, to hear God, to smell God, to touch God, to taste God. And as Catholics, we've already begun this. We hear Jesus speaking to us in the gospel when proclaimed by the priest, by the deacon. We smell God with the incense, the odor of sanctity. We taste God when we receive Jesus in the Eucharist. We see God when we look at Jesus in the host. We hold God when we hold hands with one another. Jesus says, where two or three are gathered, I am there. I am present. So our senses as Catholics are already begun to experience God. And this is what Luisa is saying. Lord, I offer you your wounds, your blood, your most holy use of your senses, that you may during the course of your life on earth to repair for all the offenses of the bad use of the senses that souls are now making. See, it's to repair and redo. This is our job. How glorious is this? October 24th, 1899, even though I suffer, love pushes me to send heavier scourges in this, because in order to make man enter himself and recognize what his being is, there is no means more powerful than making him see himself undone. We're going to be brought to our knees. For us, it's going to be ecstasy. Why? Because we're on our knees. We're already adoring God, loving God, praising God, thanking God, glorifying God, and worshiping God. For the others that don't, they'll be brought to their knees with wailing and grinding of teeth. Again, the most powerful is to see himself undone. When all the money disappears, what are people going to do? Panic? We have to understand, number one, whoever said yes, I'm going to slap them. Sorry. I lost my train of thought. I got to stop doing that. Okay, so when money... See, we're printing $2 billion a day. It's worthless. There's nothing backing it. There's nothing there. It's worthless. Let's look at the bank accounts of all around Europe, all around Asia. They're all falling apart. And why? God is in charge. And even though the New World Order wants this done, God is in charge. God is saying, I'm going to take everything away. I want you to see yourself undone. And when everybody's panicking, God's going to be blessing the communities. Sealing the communities. This is what the angels do. The angels seal the communities so no harm can come to them. This is one of the reasons why being a religious is important. The communities will be sealed, will be protected. And you're going to be very surprised how much God loves us. When everything hits the fan, when everybody sees themselves undone, we're going to be filled with joy because our confidence is in Him. Our trust is in Him, like we read today at Mass. You can't love God and love money at the same time. You either hate one or despise the other. Our job is to love God so much that we're free. Free of everything. It seems that the other means make mankind grow bolder. Therefore, conform to my justice. Okay, this is important. On Monday morning, when we begin on November 21st, say to Jesus, I conform to your justice. This is essential. Whatever you have planned, Lord, I'm in agreement with. If I need to be punished, punish me. If my family needs to be punished, punish them. I am conforming into what you want. Now, when we do this, Jesus is so happy that he blesses you. Therefore, conform to my divine justice. I see well that the love you, Louisa, have suffered, that you have for me pushes you very much not to conform to me. But you don't have the heart to see me suffer. And my mother, too, loved me more than all the other creatures. Yet no one can equal Our Lady. And yet, in order to save these souls, Our Lady conformed to the justice of God. And she resigned herself to see me suffer so much hanging on the cross. See, we have to meditate on Christ crucified. It's necessary. If we don't meditate on Christ crucified, we don't know the love of God. I remember visiting a priest. I've mentioned it before. He was in bed for a number of years, and he was paralyzed. And his hands were heavier than his arms. And the weight of his hands under the pillows curved his arm just like a bow. The weight of his hands curved. And I went in there, and I was complaining because I thought that was a gift God gave me, and I was using it to my best of my ability. And he says, "You poor boy, you poor boy." And I'm looking at him, and I'm going, "What's he mocking me for?" You know. And then he goes, "You don't know God." And at the end of that stay, we asked him for his blessing, and without moving, he gave one of the most best blessings I ever received. And he just said to me, "Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Not moving. Suffering is very important. And this priest knew it. I knew nothing. When God gives you suffering, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional suffering, it is for your benefit and for the benefit of everyone else around you, even people you'll never meet. It's redemptive. And this is what Jesus is saying to Louisa. It's very, very clear. I want you to see my mother suffering. I want you to see me suffering. I mean, this is the love of God. Jesus and Mary, what Jesus and Mary went through. And he says, if my mother could do this, could you not do it yourself? And as Jesus was speaking, I felt my human will being drawn so much to his holy divine will that I was almost unable anymore to withstand not conforming to his divine justice. I did not know what to say. So much was I convinced. However, I have not yet manifested my human will. I have not surrendered it completely. And Jesus disappeared, and I remained in doubt in this, whether I must conform or not. Again, this is 1899. Right at the very beginning. And it's the same thing with us. Jesus, don't be hard on yourself. Jesus is asking you to surrender. And he will take his time. But don't wait too long. Like I said, we've only got a certain amount of minutes on this earth. I've known people who have said, "I'll do that next week," and they never made it to next week. God gave them an opportunity. And God said, "You know, your time is up." And they did not complete what they were asked to do. But be drawn closer to Jesus, closer to Mary, through Louisa, and watch what God will do. He will show you whether or not you must conform. And you'll be very surprised. October 30th, 1899, since I had the obedience by the priest not to conform to justice, but to pray, I said to Jesus, "My beloved Jesus, when it is about chastisements, one must no longer argue, but only pray." And so I began to pray and kiss his wounds and to make the acts of reparation. That's saintly. That's what she did. She said, I'll do this a saintly thing because the priest does not want me to suffer. While I was doing this, every now and then Jesus would say to me, my daughter, Louisa, do not use violence on me. By doing this, you want to use violence on me by force. Therefore, calm yourself. So he's saying, Jesus is saying to Louisa, because you're just praying, basically, you're holding me back. You're holding me back, and I can't do anything. You want to use violence in me by force. Calm yourself. And the Lord says the same thing. Was be peaceful, joyful, and happy. November 11th, 1899. Now I was making my round, and again we have to learn how to pray the rounds. These are the prayers that Jesus prayed. These are the prayers that Mary prayed. It's not the prayers of the saints. I love the prayers of the saints. You know, we learn from the saints how to pray. Jesus says, this is how I prayed. This is how my mother prayed. These are more powerful than what the saints have been given us. And as you learn how to pray the rounds, watch what happens. You begin to live heaven on earth. Your worry, your fear, your anxiety, your complaints, your negativity, your sin disappear. I arrived at some place and I found the priest, a priest of holy life, and another place, a virgin of blameless and holy life. And we gathered, the three of us together, and we began. See, it's that's one of the things. Bilocation is what God brings about to those in the divine will. It's you're going to pray in a way that Jesus will show you. And that's why it's good to have a priest as a confessor, as a priest, to help you. Because the devil can mimic anything. And as St. Teresa says, if you see the most beautiful image of Jesus and the bell rings for prayer, you go to prayer. Because you don't know whether that image of Jesus that you're seeing, even though it's the most beautiful one, is the devil. Or it is really Jesus. You'll never know. So you need spiritual direction in the divine will. And that's why the Archbishop says you can have the books if you have a priest. If you don't have a priest, you know, you're just going to, it'd be nice, but nothing's going to amount to it. And you need the priest to help you. Okay, so that's very, very important. So, the three of us gathered together and we began to converse about the many chastisement that the Lord is sending and about the many others that he keeps prepared. And I said to them, and you, what do you do? Have you perhaps conformed to divine justice? And they, seeing the strict necessity of these times and that man would not surrender even if an apostle came out and taught them, or if the Lord sent another St. Vincent Ferrer who might induce him to conversion with miracles and prodigies, prodigious signs. On the contrary, in seeing that man has reached this obstinacy and a sort of insanity, that the very powerful miracles would render him more incredulous, invested by this most strict necessity for the good of men, in order to arrest this rotten sea that inundates the face of the earth, for the glory of God, so offended, we conform to justice. But we are praying for offering ourselves as victims, so that these chastisements may turn out for the conversion of the peoples. So what you're seeing here, and this is great, these two holy souls that she sees, says to Louisa, we're not turning to justice. We're turning, we're offering ourselves as victims. Louisa sees this, and Louisa is now almost outdone in generosity. And it was necessary that Jesus show this to Louisa. And it's the same thing for us. It's necessary to meet people who are striving to live in the divine will. And you got to make a distinction. Living in the divine will is not the same as trying to become a saint. Trying to become a saint is what Jesus tells Louisa in volume 1 through volume 10, how to become a divine mirror of Jesus Christ. And again, that's important and essential. But no saint has ever written or read about volume 11 through volume 19, how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus is asking us to do. We've striven all our life to become saints, and now he says, now I want you to let go of that and to begin to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. So by reading volume 11 through volume 19 is essential for us in order to get to volume 20, which no saint has ever seen, not even St. Honorable de Francia. And that is to receive the divine inheritance of the Father, volume 20 through volume 36. This, I remember telling a person, he retired, and he says, Father, what should I do? I said, are you really serious? And he goes, yeah. I said, are you serious? You want to do something? And he goes, yes. I said, read the volumes. So I gave him 1 through 36, and he got to volume 12, and he goes, you didn't tell me this. I go, oh. He says, this is magnificent. And then calls me up again, and he's volume 20. He goes, you didn't tell me this. I said, what? He says, I've launched off the launch pad. He says, I'm going into orbit, you know. And then he gets to volume 30, and he calls. He says, I have never experienced anything like this in my life. That was just the first reading. Jesus has got such glorious things that he wants to show us. And this is why he calls this the Book of Heaven. It's a new beginning for mankind. It really is. November 13th, 1899. Quite a few times Jesus told me, conform to my justice. Okay, and that's what we want to do on the 21st. Write that down. Say to Jesus on that morning, on your knees, I conform to your justice. For I, God, can take no more. Ah, man is too ungrateful. He almost forces me from all sides to chastise him. He himself snatches the chastisements from my hand. And if you, Louisa, knew how much I suffer in making use of my justice, but it is man himself that uses violence on me. Ah, had I not done anything other than purchase his freedom at the price of my blood on the cross, he would still have to be grateful to me. He would. But out of great spite, he keeps inventing new ways to render my payment on dying on the cross useless. Look at your relatives. Look at your friends. Look at your neighbors. Look at your co-workers. Look at your parishioners. Not condemning them, but everybody's living their own life. And it's very, very far from what God wants. And they're saying, I'm a good Catholic. Let's look at the vice president. Let's look at the vice president of one group who denies God. Let's look at most of the people in politics. This is not good. And this is the norm. And Jesus says, I'm going to have to straighten everything out. We need to pray. And again, that prayer is, Lord Jesus, I conform to your justice. So if you can say that every day throughout this new year that's coming, it'll be wonderful for you and for everybody around. While I was saying this, Jesus crying bitterly, and to console him, I said to him, my sweet good, do not afflict yourself. I see that your affliction is mostly because you feel forced to chastise the people. Ah, no, this shall never be. If you, Jesus, are all for me, I, Louisa, want to be all for you. Therefore, you shall send the chastisements upon me. Here is the victim. She says, always ready and at your disposal. You, Jesus, can make me suffer whatever you want, so that your justice shall be somehow placated. You, Jesus, shall be relieved from the afflictions you feel at seeing the creature suffer. My intention has always been this, not to conform to justice, because if man suffers, you would suffer more than he does. And while I was saying this, my Queen Mother Mary came, and I remembered, and that as I had asked the confessor for the obedience to conform to divine justice, he told me to ask Mary, the Most Holy Virgin, whether she wanted me to conform. So I asked the Blessed Mother, and she said to me, no, no, but pray. My daughter Louisa, in these days, try as much as you can to help Jesus with you and to placate him, because many chastisements have been prepared. See, that was 1899. See, it's Louisa, her life was Jesus and Mary in obedience to the church. This is why God loved her so much. January 12, 1900, my divinity hidden within my holy humanity wanted to lower itself with such baseness, subjecting itself to the course of human actions, while with one single act of my divine will, I, God, could have created infinite worlds, feeling the miseries and the weaknesses of the others as they were its own, seeing itself covered with all the sins of men before divine justice, having to pay their penalty at the price of unheard of pains, and with the shedding of all of its blood, thus it, my holy humanity, exercised continuous acts of profound and heroic humility, and this has been the cause of all evils that inundate the earth, that is the lack of humility. And by exercising this virtue, I, Jesus, was to draw all goods from divine justice. So here Jesus says, I could have done this. I'm God. He says, but with the humility, this heroic humility, is what mankind is missing. So God is going to have to bring us to humility, bring us to our knees again. We got a glimpse of it, like I said, in 2001, 9/11. The churches will be filled, let me clue you. And the churches that are left standing will be filled. All right, going throughout Ireland, I saw many, many places where there was an altar stone in the middle of nowhere. Because of the English destroying everything, the people would gather for Holy Mass in the middle of nowhere. That's coming again. And you will be protected. Don't worry about that. The children of the divine will, no harm will come to them. But Jesus is going to put everybody on their knees and say, there has to be some repair because divine justice is now going to be given to the world. Again, look at the past. Look at when things were very difficult. Look how the people lived. If they say you can't wear a crucifix, don't wear a crucifix. If they say your statues of Mary can't be outside your house, don't put your statues outside the house. I remember when I was a newly ordained priest and my Monsignor pastor said to me, if we have a nuclear war, you go into the basement and stay there for 3 months. And I go, what? And he goes, me and the vicar are going to go out and anoint people as long as we can stay alive. See, it's not to put a bullseye on yourself. It's to make sure that the faith stays alive. So if you have to go into hiding, go into hiding. I remember being in Ireland again. They go, hey, Father, come here, look at this. And I'd look, I go, what does that look like? I said, it looks like a case where you have wood in. He goes, watch this, Father. Take out the wood, and there's a ladder going down into the basement. He says, this is our hideout. And I looked at him. I said, well, that was years ago. He says, no, it's all coming back. It's all coming back. And now this wasn't just one house. Let me clue you. Maybe they drink a little too much. But anyways, they love their faith, and they knew their faith was being attacked. I was there when the hedges were there, the high hedges as you drove through. All the hedges are gone. And I said to them when I went back, when the hedges were all cut down, I said, why? And they said, they want to keep an eye on us. The hedges where you could hide. Now there's no more hedges. The winding roads, you know, through Ireland, there's straight highways through it now. It's everything has changed, and we have to understand that if we don't know the past, we're going to relive it. Our job is to recognize that it's going to be tough. Like I said, the cross is going to be gone as quickly as the Confederate flag disappeared. It's evil, the Confederate flag. But the ISIS flag is okay. What an upside-down world we have. See, this is what Jesus is saying. He's going to bring us to humility again. He's going to put us on our knees. And when the money's gone, when the electricity's gone, when the stores, when the food is gone, what are you going to do? You have to remember, Luisa did not eat, drink, or sleep for 64 years. Are we really children of Luisa? Are we going to panic? Or are we going to remember what Jesus said? Hope is peace. Peaceful, joyful, and happy. January 17th, 1900. Look at where the shrewdness of man reaches. After this, wanting a special act of reparation, blessed Jesus seemed to cut my life off, offering me to divine justice as a sacrifice. Look, you have to remember Abraham. He took his son up to the mountain, Mount Moriah. Why? So that he would be sacrificed. And when the son said, "Where's the Holocaust?" Abraham said very clearly, "God will provide." It's the same thing here. God is going to provide. Do not panic. When you have $1,000 worth of singles and they're worth a penny, do not panic. It's God is going to take care of his children. And either we enter into this life and trust him or we don't. Again, it's going to be very wonderful to see the power of God. I can't wait to see it. He is just amazing. He's always putting us in situations where he says, "Do you trust me?" And we go, "Yes, Lord." He goes, "Okay, good. Now, how about, do you trust me now?" And you go, "Yes, Lord, I trust you." "Okay, how about this? How about, do you trust me now?" "Yes, Lord." You go, "How about now?" He's constantly doing this because he wants to really believe that we believe. He wants to see that we trust him. And when we say, "Yes, Lord," he says, "Good. You don't have to be tested anymore." See, it's the trust in God, the hope in God, the confidence in God is what he wants to see. To truly be Catholic is what he wants us to see. February 27th, 1900. Tell them that great is the evil that they do by murmuring about one another. Okay, so gossip has to stop. No more gossip. When you're in a room and somebody's talking about somebody else, you just say, "I'd rather not hear this." And if they keep on talking, just say again, "I'd rather not hear this." And if they keep on talking, you can say, "I'm sorry, but I have to go." And after a while, they'll learn. But we have to stop murmuring too. "These murmuring draws my indignation with divine justice because I, Jesus, see that while they are subject to the same miseries, the same weaknesses, they do not but raise tribunals against one another. If they do this among themselves, what should I who am pure, I who am holy, do with them? According to the charity that they exercise towards one another, so do I feel drawn to use mercy with them." when somebody, see, our life is not to judge. It's to, as Jesus says in Scripture, excuse me, as Scripture tells us, it's not to judge one another. We must think of others as greater than ourselves. Sit at the lowest seat. Keep our mouth shut. Don't say anything. And you can smile and you can nod. You know what I normally do when I'm in a group is I'll say, "So what do you do?" And then I don't have to say another word. Because people love to talk about themselves. It's, "I do this and I do that and I remember this and I remember that." And they can't. Our job is to be silent. Be like Our Lady. Silent. And again, our Lord has got great plans for those that learn this silence so that Jesus speaks to us. We've got to hear his word. It's not that you're silent because you don't want to listen to people. It's you're silent because you want to hear Jesus. June 6, 1900, my daughter Luisa, it is justice that does violence to me. The love I have for men uses even greater violence on me to the point of putting my sacred heart into anguish of death in punishing the creatures. Therefore, Lord, unload justice upon me. This is Luisa. And your love shall no longer feel violence from justice and shall not find itself in the struggle of chastising people. Truly, How shall they go on if you act as if you let me understand the withering of everything that serves as nourishment of man? So here, how can these souls go on? But if you act, and then she says, as you let me understand, that the withering of everything that serves as nourishment of man is going to happen. So what does that mean? There will be no food. The withering of everything. How can man go on? Withering of everything that serves as nourishment is gone. How can they live? You know, in California, I remember driving through California years ago, and it was as green from San Diego all the way up. It was as far as you could see driving up the coast. It was all green all the way up, as far right to the mountains. It's all desert now. The water's gone. Okay, that's where we get most of our fruits and vegetables. You know, we on the East Coast have had a pretty good last few years, but the West Coast is gone. It's desert. What did Jesus say to Louisa about deserts? He says, Louisa, look at the desert. He says, if Adam did not sin, this desert would be filled with flowers, filled with trees, filled, and he says, packed with people. But because Adam sinned, it is desert. Now, do you think the desert is happening in the West because we're following the will of God? It's because we're not. But take a look at, to get a glimpse of what God has planned. Go to Google Earth and go up above the Sahara Desert. Go up and go up about 200 miles and look down. And what you're going to see is streams and valleys. And all that's missing is green. And it's all going to come back. There will be no deserts in the new era. Everything will be lush. Everything will be growing. The fruit and the vegetables will be filled. But Jesus says here, and Louisa says, that everything is going to wither. And Jesus says to Louisa, because of your suffering, Louisa, because of your suffering, one third of the earth will not wither. So we'll end there. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.